Juicebox is a sexuality education show geared to adult audiences. Listener discretion is advised. Dropped into Juicebox Radio, where sexuality educators quench your search for responsible, progressive sexuality over your lifespan.
You've landed in Juicebox Radio 101.9 FM on CITR. And this week we're without Saucy Saunders, the Ms. Julia, who will be back next week. But you do have Ms. McGillivray, Dr. Care. A few weeks ago we talked about ethical breakups, which got me to pull out the book. It's called The Breakup Because It's Broken. And tonight's show is called X Marks the Spot, Targeting Your Ex, talking about ex sex and all sorts of other things that go with that. And joining me tonight to give the male perspective is Vancouver's wonderful dating coach, Zach Broman. Welcome, Zach.
Thank you, Caroline.
And tonight we are going to be taking calls tonight at 604-UBC-CITR or 604-822-2487. And this time I wrote down the phone number. I was listening to the podcast of when we had you on last time talking about sex in this city, which was a really interesting episode.
Yeah.
And I kept forgetting our phone number for the station, so I thought I'd write it down this time.
But this time you turned your ringer off your cell phone.
I did. Actually, I figured a way to put it on silent because I finally got a smartphone. I haven't succumbed and got an iPhone yet, and that is on my agenda one of these days, but...
It'll happen.
It will be, eventually. So one of the things I wanted to start off with is touching on ethical breaking up. And Zach, you and I spoke about this a little bit in the green room before we went on air, and we're talking about just that there's not really an easy way to break up with anybody, and whoever we break up with is always going to feel it's unfair, possibly. And I don't know, do you want to elaborate a little bit?
Sure. I was just, we were talking that... There are no perfect breakups.
No.
And when we're rejected, we feel upset and we feel angry.
Mm-hmm.
And it's tempting to place that anger on the other person about the way they broke up. You always hear it was either the wrong time or the way they said it or, you know... I didn't see it coming. If they bring it up as soon as they are starting to have doubts, then... they didn't give it a chance. If they wait a long time, then why didn't they tell me sooner? Mm-hmm. So just recognize that you're going to feel angry when you get rejected, and mm-hmm. there's no two ways about that.
And for the person who is doing the breaking up, is there some advice that you'd give in terms of before actually doing the deed and actually cutting it off, some things to think about maybe before actually choosing to break up with somebody?
Nobody likes to have to break up with someone. It's not an easy thing. And I think everyone's doing their best to make it as easy as possible on the person that they're mm-hmm. That they're rejecting or dumping. There's no real nice way to say that. So you want to be as considerate as possible. I personally am a believer of, not waiting. Certainly if it's the person's birthday or something like that, then,
it may not
then
be
you might want
thing.
To wait a couple of days, but.
Or if their mother died that day.
If their mother died that day, it's not an easy thing, but at the same time, there is no perfect time to break up with someone. And if you keep waiting for that perfect time, you're going to be waiting a long time. And I think people would just rather know so that they can start to move on. The sooner you rip that Band-Aid off, the sooner it could start to heal.
I think so, too. I think there's some big key ones as well in terms of deciding to break up, number one, actually seeing, is this even fixable? What are the good things? Actually really weighing out the pros and cons in terms of the relationship. Are you just getting comfortable? And is that what's going on? Or is there something that's actually wrong? And if it's fixable, and how emotionally invested am I in this relationship? Because it's different if it's like 20 years compared to, say, like 6 weeks.
6 weeks is a long-term relationship in your world.
Well, I tend not to date very much, as we all know, so.
No, not at all.
No, not at all. Well, we don't talk about that on air.
Right, gotcha.
But with that, I do like to really gauge things, figure out if it's worth it, how emotionally invested am I. And then the last and but not least is can we be friends and all that lovely stuff, but and how do I do this in a delicate, kind, wonderful way, because obviously if you chose to date somebody, hopefully they are a really wonderful person, and you most of the time they are. They just may not be the best fit for you.
I think the risk is you said a kind, gentle, wonderful way of breaking up with someone. The important thing, I think even more important than kind, is clear.
Yes.
Is to be clear. If it's done, it's done.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody says when they break up, well, maybe in a year or 2 years, we'll run into each other and we can date again. That's pretty much across the board what everyone says, and it gives you some kind of hope for the future, but it usually becomes clear fairly quickly that that's not going to happen.
I haven't said that forever, but the one I usually tend to do is I've realized I love me more. Oh. Which I know is not a nice one, but it's the truth, because usually I've realized that I can't compromise anymore. And I need to be true to myself, and I want to date myself. And usually that's what I end up telling them very upfront about it. It's nothing to do with you, but it's me, and I love me more, and I need to start dating me.
So you say it's not you, it's me, and that tends to go over quite well?
Well, it's not the best, but it's not bad, because I really try and clarify that we're just not the right fit for each other anymore, and it's not fair that I'm wasting their time when they could be going out finding Miss Right for them, and I think that's really important, whereas I'm just a right now, because my heart's not totally in it. You know, I've got one foot in a bucket of cold water and one in hot coals.
Wow.
So
it's quite an image.
It is. It's a sexy one, depending what I'm wearing.
I think the I've lost what I was going to say. What was I going to say?
That's okay. In terms of breaking up, I think there's some few really key ones. One of the big ones, of course, that you mentioned was doing, in terms of choosing the right time, trying to do it as quickly as possible.
Right. That reminds me what I was going to say.
Go ahead.
A lot of the time we don't want to reject a person because we don't want to hurt them. And I think the thing to realize is that the hurting them is already done,
mm-hmm.
And prolonging it and putting it off is not going to make it any easier. And it really doesn't get any easier. I've been there myself, where we wait, maybe in a month, maybe in 2 months, in 3 months, in 4 months. And there you are 2 years later, and you're still in that relationship.
So in other words, you're just wasting somebody's time by putting a Band-Aid on something, as opposed to, as you were suggesting earlier, the analogy of just ripping it right off and making it a nice clean break.
Yeah, if you've decided that that's what you want to do. Mm-hmm. And I think along those lines, it's one of the difficulties is when we feel ambivalent and when we feel conflicted, is this relationship, is it painful or is it difficult or am I not enjoying it because I need to learn from it and I need to learn and grow, or is it because it means that it's just not a good fit for me mm-hmm. and that I should move on? And that's not an easy question to decide, but in general, if it's early in the relationship mm-hmm. and there's a lot of ambivalence, I tend to say it's just not the right fit for you. If you've been together for a year or two and things went really well at first, and now as you're getting to know the person, there are challenges and there are struggles, and you're realizing that it's not the person that you thought it was, he or she, if you're dating an it.
There are transgendered, but I think they usually identify as he or
as
she.
He or she, mm-hmm. yeah. There are inanimate objects, but they don't get too offended if you call them it.
I don't know. I've never asked a rock. It's hard to say.
I've never dated a rock.
Neither have I, although I've questioned some. No comment, actually. So we've got choose the right time, picking an appropriate place. If you're concerned in terms of anger, where you might have one of those people who chop up all your clothing and things like that and go ballistic, perhaps doing it in a public place might be a better way to do it. I don't mean totally public, like going to Kitts Beach or something like that, although maybe a walk at Jericho where it's a little bit quieter, where there's still a lot of people around if you're concerned about your own safety. And I think it depends on their relationship and how long you've been together.
Yeah.
I think it's important.
No argument there.
And the other thing I think is really important, but in this day and age it's hard to say, is trying to do it in person if possible. And again, it depends on the relationship. If you've gone out with somebody like two or three times, I don't really consider that a relationship. That's getting to know somebody.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
So not by text? You don't think that's a great way to break up with someone?
It depends if you
And not using the phrase LOL?
You can save that and all the high-fiving with your friends later.
Right.
But I advise not doing that in front of them. That's not a very respectful,
not to text them
ethical
to break
way.
Up. Well, yes, you want to do it in person, but at the same time, if you haven't been dating for very long, you don't have to make a big deal out of it. And sometimes the person is, you don't want to assume that person is that into you.
Exactly.
And sometimes we can, you know, we need to talk and you sit down with them and you're full on rejecting them and they would have been fine with it if you just mm-hmm. let them have some say in the whole thing, find out where they're at. Talk about where you're at and come to some decision together and at least let them feel like they have some say in it, mm-hmm. even though your mind is made up.
So in other words, just keeping it a little bit lighter and mm-hmm. keeping it more conversational as opposed mm-hmm. to we really need to talk and giving it that heavy sensation.
Exactly.
All right. I agree with that. I also think that people should be honest but sensitive. So in other words, don't go around saying, yeah, you know, I don't want to date you anymore because I just met this chick and she's so hot. And, well, I don't really think you're that hot anymore. Like sometimes honesty is not good.
You're not
good.
Big enough to satisfy me, something like that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Definitely not that. I don't think that's kind of cruel.
That's based on a true account of a female friend of mine said to her boyfriend who was... he was a bit of a jerk, so that's how she broke it up with him.
Well,
yeah.
I've heard the opposite as well. You're just too big, and I don't think we're a good fit.
Nice. That might be the best one ever.
I think it's good for the ego.
Right.
I think it's very lovely. Although, then again, there is that episode of Sex and the City, which I know you don't watch, where Samantha sees the big penis and is just like, all right, let's just be friends. And he kind of sighs, and it's like, every girl says that to me.
Mm-hmm.
So size is not everything.
Right.
But I think for a lot of guys, it'd feel good.
Need a support group for guys like that.
You sound so sarcastic. I love it. The other thing is to keep your emotions in check. So when you're breaking up with somebody, don't sit there and sob because you feel so guilty about it. And basically don't make your guilt somebody else's issue.
What are you saying with making your guilt someone else's issue?
Break up with you, but I just can't help it. I just can't. Don't make it the other person's problem.
Right.
Don't lay all that crap on them. You're already breaking up with them. They're dealing with enough stuff. So don't try and get emotional. Try and keep it fair. Very clear. Clear was a really nice word I like that you used earlier in terms of that. And I know you were also referring in terms of actual words and things like that. But I think in terms of emotion as well, just making it really clear, really specific, and not being too nice. Even though you want to be kind and you want to be considerate, you don't want to give them that hope that, that you want to make it a clean break. So when it's a breakup, it really is over.
And I think you really want to examine your motivation for being nice and being kind. And a lot of the time it's really because you don't want to be blamed. And that's where the sort of crying as you're breaking up with someone and saying it's not my fault comes from, is you don't want to be accused of any wrongdoing. And sometimes you just have to be the bad guy. And sometimes the kindest thing for the other person is if you're the bad guy and let them hate you for a while, let them be angry about some things rather than play the victim as well.
That's true. Sometimes the anger stage is quite a big one, and a lot of people try and go in denial in terms of that and don't want to go there because they feel bad about being angry. So if you can get there right away, sometimes it's easier to get over somebody because you get to that. And anger, it's just another emotion, essentially. Mm-hmm. So I think one of the big things is not being afraid to go there.
Yep.
And I think that's really key. What other blunders have you seen in terms of relationship breakups? Any really scary ones, ones that... besides the one that you're telling us about.
Well, there are a few common things. We've all experienced breaking up with someone and then wanting them back. And this is from the rejector's point of view.
Okay.
Where you realize it's not something you want and then you panic after 2 days, 3 weeks, 6 weeks, a few months.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's important to recognize that that's just the nature of breakups. When you start to feel that you were emotionally in control of someone. And when you see them moving on and realize that you're not in control and maybe you can't have them back if you want them back, it's pretty common to, that really amplifies your feelings for them. And as I've certainly experienced, I think over time we experience where you realize you don't want to be with someone and then when it's over, you panic and say, oh my God, she was perfect for me, and try and get her back. I think the best thing that can happen in a way is you're successful at getting them back. And then you realize again, a few weeks later that you didn't want to be with them in the first place. So the point is to trust yourself. Well, it's not the best thing to happen for the other person, but
no, it's not
you
the need best to try, thing at you, all. That's you need, really cruel, you actually.
Need, but I think everyone needs to experience that. And I've talked to friends who, after they've broken up, I had a client who was worried that he'd never be able to meet anybody as great as his ex again. So I asked him to tell me about the relationship, and she sounded awful. Like she, and for the majority of the relationship, he wasn't that interested in her. She was a nag, and she was just very controlling, and that's why he didn't want to commit to her. And then all of a sudden the dynamic shifted and he decided he wanted to try harder, and she pulled away and he pushed harder and she pulled away more. And he had this idealized version of her in his head that was so far from the person that he was with. But it was difficult to convince him of that.
Okay.
If he got to experience it again, it's not the best thing, but I think in a way, I think we all have to go through that once where we realize that the intensity of our feelings has nothing to do with the other person being right for us and everything to do with, that withdrawal from the drug addiction of being with that person.
I can't say that word. I'm thinking the Britney Spears song, Toxic. Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you. In terms of that, I agree with you in terms of that. I also think that as human beings, we're also very comfortable sometimes being in spaces, and once we get used to it, even if we absolutely hate being there, it's a space that we know. And when you actually break out of that relationship, all of a sudden you're in the great outdoors and it's like, oh my gosh, where do I go from here? And having to start from scratch. So sometimes I think it's really important to really evaluate, like you're mentioning. And I think there's other ways of doing it besides going back to the person, because I think sometimes that causes a lot of damage. But some ways that you can do it is basically trying to stay away from somebody for about 60 days. Try just tell them really straight up if it's possible. Sometimes it's not. If you're married and you have children, you know, you're sharing custody, sometimes it's not possible to have that break. But if you can have, say, a lawyer meet with them if you're selling the house, so you don't have to see your ex, if possible. Just somebody else who can be a go-between, so you don't need to deal with them right away. Keeping a journal, so writing down all your feelings. And with that, and really weighing out the pros and cons, being not afraid to do writing exercises, things that you hated about them, things that you loved, because there will be fond memories that eventually you want to take away, but you want to make sure you have both sides of that. So when you look back at that paper later, it's like, okay, I get you. I see why I left. Really writing down those reasons why you weren't happy, things that make you happy. So then that way you can start looking at what you had in that relationship that was good. So then when you eventually, when you're ready to heal and move on to the future and start dating other people, you have that there. And you can say, okay, these are the things I really enjoyed. Not that when you go on your first date with somebody, it's going to be like, well, my ex-girlfriend actually did this and I really liked it when she did this.
Right.
Not that. But just so you're aware that there's certain things that are things that you value in terms of a relationship. Because I think each relationship we have basically takes us a little bit closer to the one that's the very best one for us.
Hopefully, if you're learning from things, absolutely. At the same time, you know, there are going to be certain things about that person that, quite honestly, you may never get again in a partner. But you might get something else that's wonderful that you didn't even know about. But I know I've had difficulty moving on from a relationship when, you know, there was just some little thing that I just loved about her, or I loved having. And it was quite a step for me to realize that, I may never find that exact thing again, but I'll meet somebody else that has
something
equally
different.
Wonderful things. And in a way, it's a nice thought that, you know, no one's going to replace that person. And you still have the memory of them, and you still, they have a unique spot in your life, in your life story. Rather than these are all the things I liked and I'm going to try and find someone who fulfills all those things.
Yeah, I think that's true.
The other thing I want to mention is you mentioned journaling, and I'm a huge journaler. What have I got in front of me here?
You've got your journal.
I've got it.
And it even says journal.
It says journal on it.
Although it is a little black book as well. So I'm curious what type of thoughts you write
down. It's a black book,
down.
But it's not that little. And
I love the size issues.
The point of journaling is definitely to get some clarity when you're trying to get over somebody. You're not really seeing things objectively. You tend to give more weight to that person's idealizing that person. You give more weight to your own regrets and less weight to the positive things about yourself and the negative things about the other person. And so, although I'm a big fan of journaling, and I do a ton of writing myself, I'm always trying to figure things out. Focusing on the present and focusing on moving forward, I think, is important. Because if you spend, let's say you spend 2 hours journaling about your ex, that's 2 hours of attention you've spent watering the seeds of insecurity and of regret and things like that. Journaling and then moving on is another story, but you can go too far with it where you are dwelling.
So in other words, that would be obsession.
Obsession.
And in terms of that, what would you recommend if somebody is getting a little bit obsessive? Or is that getting more into our stalking, which we should talk about in the second half?
We can talk about that whenever you want.
We'll wait till the second half.
Half we'll be talking about obsession.
And stalking. And things. But for right now, let's start a little bit on the XX, and then we'll continue on in the second half because we'll be taking a short break soon.
Okay.
So in terms of your client that you were telling us about earlier, and you advised him, or he chose to get back together with the ex who wasn't all that great for him. So did they indulge in XX?
No, I don't think so. This was several months later. He was committed somewhat to moving on from her. So that's that particular story. No, they didn't have XX. He just wanted her back and she didn't want him back. But on the topic of XX, yeah, there's a lot of different opinions on that. A friend of mine heard that we were talking about this morning and emailed me saying, don't do it, that the risk of XX, well, there are several risks. One is that one of the two people involved, or three people if it's a threesome,
that's
having
true.
XX, one of the people usually thinks that it means that you're getting back together, and you want to be sensitive to that and realize that sometimes, you know, it's really tempting. The person is comfortable. You know what it feels like to have sex with them. You know what they like. They know what you like.
Mm-hmm.
Often when you're moving on from somebody, if you've been in a relationship for a longer period of time, the first person you're with after that sexually, it's unfamiliar, and you sort of miss the familiarity of that other person. We were talking, Carolyn and I were talking earlier about kissing. I was in a relationship for several years and then very quickly met up with someone else and we kissed, and I completely panicked thinking that this isn't how we kiss. This is, wow, what have I done? And that process of getting out there and meeting other people is important for moving on. But early on, it might make you, you know, sad. It might make you miss that original person more, and that's mm-hmm. fine. That's part of the process. You don't want to skip that part of the process, but just recognize that, yeah, the first couple times you go out on a date with somebody that's not your partner that you were with for years is going to feel
unusual, different.
Yeah.
And that takes some getting used to sometimes. I want to just mention in terms of XX, if you're really thinking about it and you're thinking, okay, there's some questions you can ask yourself. Number one, will having sex with my ex cause emotional pain? I think that's a really, really key one.
For yourself or
yeah,
for the other person.
Because I think that's something to really think about. The second thing, is my ex trying to use sex as a way of getting back into a relationship? And will I be repeating the same patterns of the past with this person by opening up a sexual door? Will I be betraying any promises to myself by allowing this person in my life again, even if it's just in a sexual capacity? And again, Zach and I, we were talking earlier in terms of the oxytocin hormone, which is released at the point of orgasm, which makes you want to cuddle. And sometimes you think that, is that one of my hairs along mm-hmm. the... Okay, I'm shedding hairs all over the board. But in regards to that, sometimes you feel emotionally attached to people, even if you're not planning to. The other things that are important to ask are things like, how will having sex with my ex cause me to feel afterwards? Are my motives purely physical, or is there something more? Will having sex with this person help me create a sense of closure or a misguided sense of connection? Mm-hmm. Am I having sex with this person because of repressed feelings of guilt for breaking off the relationship? And I think
does that happen?
Yes, it does.
Wow.
No comment, but yes.
Guilt sex, my favorite.
I think if you knew that.
Not my favorite, revenge.
Why?
Revenge sex.
Revenge sex is an interesting one. I think revenge almost sex is more interesting, though, than having revenge sex, which is basically living well. And I think it's a really lovely way to be sometimes, where it's just like, you know, they want you. And you kill with kindness and just be super sweet, but say, no, I don't think it's a good idea. We're exes. So it's probably not a good idea.
Now, the list that you gave is great, and it's very rational.
It's pretty general, though, but emotional stuff gets in there.
It does. I mean, it's good to keep these things in mind. At the mm-hmm. same time, you know, we need to make our own mistakes. And when you really want to, you know, when you really want to have sex and you've really wanted to have sex with that particular person, then, you know, you're going to do what you're going to do. I've learned that, you know, you can't stop people from making those mistakes.
You can try, though. Mm-hmm. Even though I apparently, according to the Men Love and Sex poll, 73% of men think about
Sorry,
the one
the
that got away.
Sorry, Men Love and Sex what?
The Men Love and Sex poll. And
poll,
no, not
gotcha.
A super
poem.
Poll. It's my articulation, darling. I know sometimes it goes. But 73% of men think about the one that gets away. And at least sometimes, with nearly a quarter of the men saying that they think about her a lot or all of the time, which is kind of scary, actually. So, because I know a lot of women are absolutely terrified in terms of, you know, it's like, what, you know, are you thinking about your ex and all that stuff?
Mm.
So it's an interesting thing.
I think it's a natural thing.
It's part of your history.
Chemicals that are released when you start bonding with someone
mm-hmm.
are, you know, we have sexual attraction, which is made for mating, mm-hmm. but then we have emotional attraction, which is made for bonding, to bond two people long enough to raise a child together.
Yeah.
And if it wasn't so painful to break off, you know, we would be with hundreds of different partners throughout our lifetime. We wouldn't stay with anyone for very long, and staying with someone for a good period of time is the healthiest thing for raising a child. Certainly throughout evolution, it has been. Mm-hmm. So it's no secret that time is the best thing. I've been trying to find a shortcut for ages to getting on with this thing. There are definitely things you can do to move on more quickly than slowly. One of the things is to get really good at meeting and attracting members of the opposite sex. And a large part of what I do and I teach is giving people that choice in their lives and that power in their lives, so that they have opportunities outside of their past relationship.
I agree, and I think that's a really important skill to have. I do think, though, that sometimes people do need to take some time to heal, because there are some people who do just jump right back on the horse again mm-hmm. and don't re-examine why did the breakup, why did it happen, why was the fit not a good fit, mm-hmm. and really re-examining what do I really want, and really re-evaluating who am I outside of this relationship, especially mm-hmm. if you've been with somebody for like anywhere from 3 to 20 years. That really impacts your life, and sometimes you have to grow a little bit as yourself
yep.
before you're ready to jump back in again. Not that, and I think it's really valid that somebody knows how to meet people, mm-hmm. To negotiate, pick up, all that, and actually how to be themselves, basically, on a date. And I think all those skills are really, really, really valid.
I agree. Taking time to be yourself is to learn who you are, mm-hmm. and especially. People that go from one relationship to another, to another, to another.
Serial monogamous.
It's tempting not to. It's very comfortable to be with someone.
Mm-hmm.
It's tempting to do that. But yeah, taking that time and not dating at all is definitely a good strategy. And then at some point, you want to get back on that horse.
Yeah, I know. It's an important thing to do. But yeah, it is. But in the meantime, in terms of with the XX and things like that, I did want to add one more point
sure.
on there. Just going full circle, and I'm sorry, my darling, about that. But in terms of just being reliant on your ex, basically being in control of your own orgasm. So whether that means taking a trip to the Art of Loving or another sex shop.
Listen up, guys.
And picking up some toys. And guys, you can pick up some toys, too. They've got some great toys for boys. And
most guys are in control of their own orgasm.
Yes, they are. But sometimes there's other toys that can make it even more pleasurable, because sometimes it's nice to have a little bit of variety.
Right.
And that's something that you can bring to a relationship, but also to take care of yourself so you're not as encouraged to go and have sex with your ex.
Yeah, I think in general, knowing that you can please yourself whenever you want gives you more personal power
mm-hmm.
In any sort of negotiation. In business, you want to make sure you have options outside of the negotiation. Mm-hmm. In other words, if this falls through, I've got something to fall back on. And and if that's what you have to fall back on, then it's better than nothing.
And, you know, sometimes it's even better than the real thing, although I do like the real thing, too. But sometimes toys are fun, and it's something that you can do at any time, except for maybe when you're at your desk at work. But that's a whole other can of worms, and that's another show, isn't it?
I suppose so. I don't know if I'll be there for that show, but...
Anyway, on that note, let's take a quick break, and we're going to be right back with more about XX and how not to scare your ex. So keep that dial locked, and we welcome your calls at this time. So give us a call at 604 604- 844-822-2487. That is 604-UBC-CITR. You're in Juicebox, featured on Vancouver's CITR 101.9 FM. And we are going to be right back.
Hi guys, my name is Hafsa and I'm the Public Relations Officer for the International Relations Students Association, also known as IRSA. We have a mandate to provide students from a variety of disciplines with a forum for the discussion of international issues in a casual environment. Our discussions reflect upon all areas of international interest. In addition, a host of other activities, such as diplomatic simulations, academic publications, and conferences such as UBCME1, make IRSA the most active student group on campus and one of the most recognized throughout Canada. If you would like to join the club or get in touch for more information, please call 604-822-1604 or visit our website at irsa.ca.
Juice Box is a sexuality education show geared to adult audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
And we are back. We are back in the box. And if you are joining us right now, it's Caroline Ms. McGillivray in the box. And tonight I have Mr. Wonderful Zach Bowman in the house, who is one of Vancouver's best dating coaches. So tonight we have been talking about XX and breaking up and all that lovely sexy stuff and how to target your ex, which we're going to get into a little bit more in the second half. So welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
So I was just going to say, usually we do juice berries at this time, and I always forget to put juice berries. I know the Queer Film Festival is coming up, but I don't know the dates of it. So, and I should know them because I actually have them in my other email, which I did not
get. So everybody Google it.
Exactly. So before the break, we were talking about XX, two or not two, which your friend that had emailed you this morning, who's actually, I think, a friend of mine as well.
That's right.
Was pretty definite, very anti-XX. I do have to agree with you where there have been times where I have had XX, and it has helped me progress in terms of moving on with the relationship. You were also mentioning one of your other friends who had XX and realized one day where the XX just didn't feel as good anymore. So perhaps
because they didn't have the same emotional connection, and it made it easier to let go.
Which I like that, and I think that's really important to realize.
One thing that I was alluding to this a few minutes ago when I was talking about learning to meet and attract women. You don't want to be coming at sex or dating or relationships from a scarcity mentality.
Definitely not.
And if it's sex with your ex because you have no other options,
that's insulting for your poor ex.
What's that?
That's insulting for your ex.
Well, of course you don't tell them that, but knowing that you can have other people, there are plenty of people out there, is what I'm saying, that you can go and have sex with.
Okay.
Don't have to go back to your ex.
Okay, so it's not just like the last man and woman on earth, is what you're trying to say.
Exactly.
Okay. That's a good thing. One other thing I do want to touch on, and if Julia was here, she would be advocating this big time. If you are having sex with your ex, remember you may not have been the last person who's had sex with them necessarily. You may have had sex with other people too. So it's really important to treat it as if you're having sex with a stranger. So
wrap
even
that,
if you're on the pill.
Wrap that bad boy.
You bet. Wrap it up. Use a condom. Protect. So you just want to play it safe. And even though it's pretty easy just to slide it in there and just be super comfy, it's not the best thing in the world to do because you need to protect yourself. There's a lot of STIs out there, and you need to be safe, and that's to protect your ex, especially if you've been sleeping with other people, and you want to make sure, even if they tell you they've been celibate since you broke up, you're not together anymore. So, you know, why do you have to believe them about anything, honestly? And on that note, since you're trying to get them out of your life, let's talk about breakups. How do you get over somebody when you're trying to?
Well, there are certain things you want to do. I have a program that I like to put my guys through. One is you want to get on top of your health and physical fitness. So you want to make sure you're eating right. You want to make sure you're getting exercise. I can't overstress this for your mood and for your sense of self-esteem and confidence. There's nothing quite like getting in shape. The other one that's really important is you really want to clarify and make sure that you're on your path in life and you're not making your path about your ex and you're not making it about finding someone to replace your ex. So some people dive into their careers, some people have hobbies, things like that. But in a way, it's that low point of a breakup is a chance where you can't... you can't distract yourself anymore with that other person. You're faced, you're forced to be with yourself, and it's a good time to examine your path in life and what you want to be doing and put your energy and attention on that rather than on your ex. That's another point.
What else have you got there?
Recognizing, though it doesn't feel like it, just reminding yourself, I've never been a big fan of affirmations, because I think they're just the way they're used often is to try and, you know, force an idea in there that you don't necessarily believe. Where affirmations, I think, are really helpful is when it's something that you do believe, but you find it hard to feel emotionally.
For example,
it's really hard when you're trying to get over someone to believe that you could actually meet somebody again that makes you feel like they're the only one. And how many times have we thought that, you know, how many times have we been heartbroken and we look back now at that person that we're heartbroken? It's like laughable when you were 15 years old or 16 years old, that guy or that girl that you just were hoping you'd spend the rest of your life with, be really glad that you didn't get your wish.
That is true, but I think it's not just about the person. It's also about the journey, where sometimes, because I've heard this one over and over again, where it's, I didn't see it coming, and I think that's a big one, where I think it's not so much about the actual person dumping you, it's about not being able to sense it, and it makes you doubt yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really key, where it takes a long time sometimes to rebuild that trusting of self.
We put a lot of symbolic meaning on being rejected.
Yes, we do.
It's not just this one person that I'm incompatible with. We often take it to mean that, well, she doesn't want to be with me, therefore I'm unattractive, therefore nobody wants to be with me, therefore I'll be alone forever,
mm-hmm.
therefore I'm destined to a life of depression and childlessness and whatever. And recognizing that those therefores do not necessarily,
mm-hmm.
one point does not necessarily flow from the next, and to take each circumstance for what it is. It's this person and you are not compatible for whatever reason,
mm-hmm.
and it doesn't mean anything more than that.
That's true. I think one of the other key things that I like is, which I got from, it's called The Breakup Because It's Broken, was the concept of having a breakup buddy. So if you're trying to not call your ex and just trying to make it a nice clean break so both of you can get over each other, is to have somebody so you can call them, you can vent to them and all that. You don't want to overdo it so that your friends start changing their phone numbers and all that stuff and not stop returning your calls. But you do want to have some support there where you have somebody to talk to. If you do need to have a counselor or something like that, just having some support there, whether it's online, having a forum that you can write in, and just so you know you're not the only one going through this, that there's other people.
I think that's great. Counseling, I'm a big fan of counseling. I've done some myself, and a couple years ago, I just wanted to get on top of some things, and I did several sessions, and it just made a huge difference to
mm-hmm.
my life. And at that point in time, I was actually doing pretty well. I was not a low point when I decided to go to counseling. It was when things were going well, because I recognized I was repeating some patterns that I didn't want to repeat anymore. So I'm a big believer in counseling and talking to a professional. And I love the idea of having a buddy that you can call. Just in general, I have my best friend. We always just say, don't call her, call me.
Mm-hmm.
If you feel like you're in that state of mind. And typically when you do feel like you want to call your ex because you're feeling really
lonely,
that's not the moment you want to be calling them anyway.
No.
So just, we get this sense of urgency, I think, that I have to call them now. I have to call her today. Otherwise, you know, she might meet someone else tomorrow morning, or she won't know how I feel. Just wait a day. Just let it pass. If it's that important that you call her, just wait 24 hours and you can call her the next day. But your emotions will have changed in 24 hours many times, probably.
That's true. But try and wait 60 days after you're broken up.
Definitely. If it's been a longer-term relationship or something that you're quite emotionally invested in, or the other person's emotionally invested in, you and I have talked about,
mm-hmm.
there's definitely a difference between when you just have dated someone casually and sexually, and that's another story. And most of the time you can go on to being friends. But in general, no contact is the best way to go when there's that much feeling involved.
Definitely.
And everybody tries it, and everybody tries to maintain friendships. And perhaps after a period of months or years, or you can become friends with that person anymore once you're dating someone else and they've dated someone else, and it really is, you're being really honest with yourself that it is just a friendship. But it takes a lot longer than you think it's going to be. 60 days, I think, is really a really short period of time to go without. I mean, I go for 60 days without talking to good friends sometimes. So
that's true. But I think when you're used to living with somebody or spending that kind of quality time with somebody, 60 days seems like a lifetime. Mm-hmm. And if you can get through that much, it's after that, it's one day at a time. Mm-hmm. Where, like you said, if you can wait a day, where there's those times where, hey, I got a promotion at work, and you just want to call because you're so used to sharing all the good things with that mm-hmm. person too, and realizing, wait a sec, I can't really call them, or I shouldn't be calling them, even though I know they'll be happy for me. It's not fair to do that. I need to start, you know, calling my breakup buddy instead and saying, hey, you know, this happened to me today and it's a really good thing.
And be aware of your own mental tricks, you know.
Mm.
When you do get a flat tire and you call two other people and they're not home and you're like, I had no choice. I had to call, I had to call her. You want to be aware. There's a great Seinfeld where we hear Elaine's inner monologue where she doesn't want to call Putty, and it keeps cycling back to, I should just call him. You know, I'm just going to call him.
Yeah.
And then she calls him, and or she almost calls him, and I can't remember. She gets interrupted, and she's like, wow, that's funny. Funny that I was interrupted and I was going to call him.
Mm-hmm.
You know who likes funny stories? David Putty. I'm going to call him. You know what I mean? She just,
so
her
she
mind was
back.
finding excuses to call. And I think 60 days is definitely a...
It's a starting off
But
point.
It's important what you do with those 60 days.
I agree.
And this is not something we maybe planned on talking about, but I think it's important.
Sure.
Facebook.
Yes, actually we did touch on that.
Facebook is... Don't check his profile. Don't check her profile. I've actually really, you know, I've really tailored down my Facebooking.
Really?
I was spending quite a bit of time on there for a while. So now it's sort of go on there, check, and get off.
Mm-hmm.
Facebook is really, I think it's a great tool, and it's a great way to keep in touch with people and get to know people. But it's also a real jealousy-creating machine. And, you know, if it's... You know, if it's an ex, just agree to just delete each other and set your privacy settings, because it's even if you're not seeing them, they're present in your life if you're visiting their page and they're visiting your page and things like that.
I agree. And if somebody gets angry, they can write all over your wall. And unless you're like us, where we get it forwarded to our phones, I don't know if you still do.
No,
but
I don't. No.
I do. Where you can actually get it right in there and delete it immediately.
Did this happen to someone you know?
Yes. And it wasn't a very pleasant thing. So, and she's somebody who doesn't check her Facebook all the time. So she was quite horrified when she found it. Things were written all over her wall. And I just didn't think it was very safe. And so you never know. So it is good to delete them right away. I think that's smart.
I think in general as well, I mean, when everything's great in a relationship, then you post that you're in a relationship and you mm-hmm. post pictures of you together and things like that. And that's really great until things start not going well or until you break up.
Yeah.
And then you post that you're now single, or you post that the relationship ended and everybody gets in touch with you. And I find it, you know, you look at Brad Pitt and
Jennifer Aniston,
they were very much in the public eye
mm-hmm.
and their breakup was very public, and you can see them both now. You know, of course, they're being followed around, and we know what's going on with their relationships,
mm-hmm.
but you can see they're really not being public about it because they realize, you know...
How much it affected.
How much it affects people, yeah. So, I don't know, I kind of just keep that stuff off of... that's not what I use Facebook for anyway.
For writing on your ex's walls?
For writing on my ex's walls and for announcing, you know... For announcing my relationship status and things like that.
Okay. I thought you were going to say for announcing that you're on Juicebox tonight. And I was like, why not?
That's exactly what Facebook is for, is things like that. But yeah, recognize that though it seems like a really good idea to tell the world of your love when it first starts, it sets you up to have to explain to everybody what happened
when it doesn't work. And one thing you did mention earlier when we were chatting in the green room before we went on air was about not thinking of when a relationship ends as a failure, And I thought that was a really valid point. Mm. I like that. Would you care to share that with your listeners?
Yeah, I think it's important to recognize that there's only one person that you're going to be with when you die. You know, you're going to be in a relationship
with yourself.
Well, there's that person. Yeah, but every single interaction, every single relationship you have is going to end at a certain point. So mm-hmm. whether, you know, you exchange phone numbers and you never go out on a date, whether you go out on one date and not a second, whether you go out for 3 weeks or several months or several years, at some point or another, you know, there's all these opportunities for that relationship to, I say relationship in the more broad sense mm-hmm. of the word, for that interaction to end. And if you want to look, if you look at it as a series of failures, it sort of paints a very bleak picture of the past, and you project that into the future that, well, I guess I'm doomed to failure because none of my relationships has ever worked out. None of anybody's relationships have ever worked out except for the one that they're currently in. Right?
That's true.
And I've heard that from people before that have felt like, well, I've never had a real relationship. They've all ended. And that's, if you really look at it, it's the way it goes. And some people will never feel like they've succeeded until they're on their deathbed. And, you know, I think we want to find happiness a little sooner than that.
I agree with you. I actually met a woman the other day who told me that she'd just gotten out of a 16-year relationship, and she felt like a failure. And I said to her, you know, I don't know very many people who have had a 16-year relationship. Mm-hmm. If they can get past 5 months, that's pretty incredible a lot of the times, because most relationships tend not to get that far.
Well, and if it's failure, what's the goal?
Being together forever.
Forever, right, which you'll never know while you're alive.
That's true.
So no one, you'll never
know whether you achieve that goal. I do want to go back to the whole Facebook thing, because that takes us into the whole cyber stalking, which I found it really interesting. I was on checking out some stuff on crisiscounseling.com, and one of the things I found really interesting about stalking was that men stalk more at night and women stalk more by day, which I thought was interesting. And nearly 3 out of 11 people who break up will begin to feel or think that they're being stalked. And on any given day, about 1 out of every 1,000 people will feel that they're being stalked. Is that wild?
Wow.
And so with Facebook and things, yeah, there's ways of stalking. And, you know, if you want to call it that, depending what your definition of stalking is. And this stat I thought was really interesting. Nearly 90% of all college students who break up will engage in what's called unwanted pursuit behavior, which that includes things like writing notes, giving gifts, making phone calls, contacting friends, and following the person or intruding in their life, which hence Facebook, here we go. And this can border and easily cross the line and become an obsession. And what they found really interesting was that that a lot of courts and a lot of people actually call this stalking. So is that interesting?
Yeah, it's a natural impulse. Mm-hmm. I think we talked about this last time, that what happens to the brain chemically when you become infatuated with someone is identical to obsessive mm-hmm. compulsive disorder. And seeing that person, talking to that person, is very much like a drug addiction. You get a little hit of that drug every time you have a contact with that person.
Yeah.
And so even when you're harassing her, harassing him, and you know, they're yelling at you, mm-hmm. you still get a little tiny hit. It doesn't help. It actually makes the craving worse. You know, it's like, you know, sucking soda through a straw. The glass is empty, and it makes that slurpy sound. You're not really getting any satisfaction out of that.
Yeah.
But it's a natural drive, and I think it's really amplified by our culture, by movies mm-hmm. and television that tell you that that's the way to get somebody back. That's the way to win someone over.
And it's pretty scary. If you are being stalked, there are a few things that they recommend on the website, which I did want to share really quickly just to wrap things up really quickly, which to agree to give each other a period of time with no contact. D, Don't talk to mutual funds or the other person's friends about your relationship. Avoid places where the other person will be for at least 30 days. Go ahead and date if you want, but don't date the other person's friends or coworkers. Get caller ID on your home phone and only answer safe numbers. Get a cell phone, block your number, and give the number to trusted people. Document every contact and attempted contact with the time, date, and witnesses of what happened. Don't get into a pattern of being angry and then nice to the other person. Say no only once and don't let them down, quote unquote, easy. And reveal nothing about yourself and say nothing, explain, or justify. So again, stay off Facebook. Get them off your Facebook account if that's the case. There must be no contact of any kind under any circumstances if you think you're being stalked. Mutual friends and acquaintances should not discuss the other person at all with a potential stalker. And contact a qualified mental health professional if you believe you're at risk or if you're being stalked. And if you do need to get a restraining order or a stalking order against someone, then you should never place yourself in proximity to that person or engage in anything that could be considered proximity-seeking behavior. And do not give that person any reason to think about you, talk about you to anybody, or by going to places that they routinely go as part of their life.
One other thing to keep in mind before you, for me, the baffling thing is I wonder if people are aware of how bad it looks when they're doing the stalking, how pathetic it makes them look. Just imagine that if you feel like writing a letter to her or something like that, I mostly coach guys, so it's him and her.
That's okay.
Just imagine that she will show that to the new guy she's sleeping with, and they will laugh about it. And I've been on...
That really puts things into perspective.
It really does. It really makes you not want to write that note. And I think we've all been on the other side. We're with someone who has an ex that that won't leave them alone.
Yeah.
And she's, you know, she's discussing it with the new guy, or he's discussing it with the new girl.
And all the friends.
And all the friends, and they're all shaking their heads. So just curb that behavior.